Kuyamora. Sanbonani. How are you? Exiabara imisgen. Yeah, that's a Amharic in Ethiopia. Yeah. I hope I will not be sleeping or I will not put you into sleep because just arrived midnight from Zululand. We had a wonderful outreach there, preaching at Eshowe, village to village, touching lives, and ended up last night in a big church. You know, we Africans, we are not like white people who look at the watch. This doesn't exist to Africans. You know, in Genesis 1, between verse 1 and 2, it says God created time for the Africans. So we have plenty of time. We can go on and on. Service started at 6 o'clock and we're done by 11 o'clock. We're still fresh. And we drove all the way from Zululand and I arrived early this morning. And now I'm here. Slept only 2 hours. And so I won't put you to sleep. Praise the Lord. My wife, Rachel, and our third-born daughter, Faith, and we thank God that they are with me, and we're preparing to travel back to Malawi in 4 weeks' time. After 4 years in South Africa, where I'd been invited to come and help our ministry, African Enterprise, where it's almost like, you know, going down. So we had to revamp the ministry and, you know, put fire again. And so I thank God we have our brother who is leading the team from Shofar, Frenchhook. And he's now our team leader. And right now he's in Poland. I said when you join African Enterprise, it means traveling as well. That puts you real on the road all the time. We should have been together in Poland, but I felt I didn't want to go. I wanted to be around, especially when we had a crusade in Grahamstown, which finished, and from Grahamstown went to East London to preach at the conference at Downtown Christian Center. It was wonderful, and from there straight to Zululand, and from Zululand straight to Durban. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. I smell Shofar, because I've been in with Shofar many, many times, especially at Stellenbosch. Sometime in March, we were in your place in Namibia, the conference there. Men's conference. It was wonderful, fantastic. And thank God. My purpose for going back, well, because in the Bible there's no retirement. There is retreaded. So I'm being retreaded by the Lord to go again and start all over. Really to go and minister among the politicians. That's where I feel my heartbeat is. You know, politicians are guys who never go to church, some of them, or they are religious. They have a demon of religion. And so we want to go and get out that demon and put Christ in. And so we are going to register it as presidential prayer breakfast. Presidential prayer breakfast. We are using the word presidential. It's like just being, it's a catchy word, because I can invite, what we'll be doing is to go to hotels where we go for breakfast, and it will be called presidential prayer breakfast, and luncheons, presidential luncheon, and dinner as well. So it will not stick to one name, because we have breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Now the vision is to get lawyers, only lawyers, for breakfast, just lawyers, and invite a lawyer either from South Africa or from Ghana, from any other country who is truly born again to preach to fellow lawyers. And luncheon also medical doctors only, and invite a medical doctor to come and speak to medical doctors. So that's the vision. And maybe weekend we have now what we'll call the presidential prayer breakfast. In all these, we'll be using the name of the president, because he has already agreed that we can use his name, that President so-and-so and Stephen Lungu invite you. Amen. So you have to be clever sometimes. Yeah, so because they see the name of the president, they can't say no. They have to come. But I will not be paying for the breakfast. They will pay. But I'll do the business of getting them the gospel. Amen. Yeah, because these executives, you get them through their stomachs. Yeah, no eat, they won't come. So through their stomachs, you give them the gospel. Hallelujah. So that's basically what I'll be doing. After preaching, then we get to all their names, and then I visit them in their offices or their homes. And then I'll form a team that will be visiting these top guys, executives, to speak to them heart to heart. Sometimes they don't need, you know, this diplomacy, because they are so clever. So you need a direct word to them that you are a sinner, repent. So that's basically what that I'll be doing among the politicians. And just for an example, I've tried to get Julius Malema for 2 years. And he always says, meet in Cape Town. I go to Cape Town, he's in Pretoria. When I go to Pretoria, he's in Joburg. He's very slippery. And so that's the guy I failed to reach out. But I'm still trying in these 4 weeks if I can, you know, have a word with him, because he is just as I was myself, very aggressive, and he's not tolerant, and that's how I was. So I want to share my story with him, that, you know, you can change. Amen. So that's where basically I'll be doing when I go back to my life. But also, I'm forming small teamlets into the rural areas who will be going to, because rural areas are neglected. Muslims are coming through the rural areas, giving them clothes and so on. So we want to go and counteract that with the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So that small teams of 4 people, loudspeakers, go in the villages, stay there 1 week, preach the gospel of our Lord. And so I will not be sitting down. I'll be very busy when I get back home, especially among the politicians. Amen. And can I switch off this little? Is that okay? Yeah, thank you. I was getting in my eyes. Yeah. I just want to share as a testimony which has built my life, and I've shared some of these scriptures here and there in Cape Town, men's camps, and so on. But as a way of testimony, where I've arrived where I am, or still going on, because right here you can't see, it's written, work still in progress. Amen. God is not done with me yet. And for you, where God has finished you, God bless you. I admire you. But me, all over me is written, work still in progress. And God hasn't finished with me as yet. But then I grew up with questions like, why me, God? Have you ever asked such kind of question? Why me? Sometimes you go through a difficult situation. You feel, no, why me? Why me? But if it doesn't come to you, to who else? So you ask questions, why me? Until God himself rebuked me that, Stephen, shut up. When I asked that question for you on the cross, when I cried, my God, why are you forsaking me? So I asked that question for you. I carried that question for you. So from that time, I stopped asking questions like that. Why me? And also it was a question that I would ask myself, why me? Why was I born the way I was born? Why did I grow up the way I grew up? Why did I become a gang leader? Why others, I admire others, I've never committed sin, I've never told a lie, but I would say, why me? Why did I have to go through those horrible situations in my life? You know, also to have to carry this name, you are a murderer, you are a drug addict, you are like this. Why me? And also when you are born and your mother dumps you and you become a street kid. And when you, I used to look at the kids going to school and I would say, why me? Under that bridge, feeding from the garbage bins. And I would say, why me? And you know, but today when I look back under that bridge and going to the white suburbs, scavenging their garbage bins, I was eating all that junk food which they had left and so on. And I used to ask questions, why me? But when I look back, for now, that was actually my Bible college where God was training me to be what I am today. You know, eating those garbage bins, God was training me for today to have an international stomach. Some of you have got South African stomachs. When you eat dead food, you throw out. But me, no problem. I can eat any kind of food. God, I've never thrown out food. I've been almost every part of the world. Eaten some food which some of you look at it, you want to throw out before eating. But God has trained me. So it was under that bridge where God was training me for now that I would have a very strong stomach as I travel around the world. I mean, you go to South America, you go to China. Man, China, you eat all sorts of things. You know that. I've eaten snakes or dogs or whatever, but I've never thrown out. But a South African stomach, woo, hey, will throw out everything, you know. Yeah, but God, you know, he does all that for a purpose. That for me to send me anywhere in the world, God doesn't have need to scratch his head. Should I send him or should I not? Or no, for me, God just says, Steve, stand up, go, and I go. Jump, and I jump. And said, how far do you want me to go? How far do you want me to jump? That's how passionate I am with the Lord, because he trained me under that bush. As a guerrilla fighter fighting alongside Robert Mugabe that time, I said, man, I don't like white people. I hated white people with passion, real passion. You only greet a white man when you kill him first, then greet him later. And because if he's alive, he will call you a kefir, he will call you a baboon. So kill him first and greet him later. You are very safe this morning. Don't worry. You are very, very safe. You know, white people, when they are afraid, become red, red. And black people will become pitch black, you know. But you are very safe. But that's how God, you know, took me away. But then questions were, why me, God? Then God saves me when I'm about to blow up a gospel 10 meeting with my AK-47. 20 boys, and that night it was not a mistake. But by God, took us there to blow up that tent meeting, because I used to think independence will not come fast as long as people believe in Jesus, as long as people read the Bible. So to me, the Bible was a book of slavery. So get rid of the Bible, get rid of the white men, get rid of all the churches. Just throw bombs in every church. But that night, by God's providence, we went to that big tent, which was from South Africa. That made matters worse. Because anything from South Africa for us was a taboo, because it was a country of apartheid system. So we got there. We just decided to go inside for 2 minutes only. And that was a good mistake to give God 2 minutes. And we went inside, and God has a sense of humor. They invited a pretty girl, a gorgeous girl. Ma, she was pretty. And I said, now, how can they invite a pretty girl to share a testimony? And I used to think Christianity is for the old grannies who are about to die. Or maybe ugly girls with wrong figures, you know, boys don't love them, so they have to be Christians. So I said, they have to be Christians. So, but this girl was gorgeous. But then I said, the more she shared the testimony, she was glowing with the glory of God. And that affected my eyes. And I said to my friend, you see that girl shining? He said, no, she's not shining. And I said to my friend on my left, said, no, she's not shining. And I got angry. I said, you guys, what type of eyes do you have? Can't you see she's shining? What I saw, my friends didn't see. That glow. Then she invites another evangelist, and this man stands up. And this man preaches about the judgment of God. And that's the thing I didn't like when he preached about the judgment of God. I didn't like his finger every time. He pointed that finger like he was pointing at me. No matter which direction he pointed, the finger was bending towards me. And so I took out my knife to kill my friend. I said, I'll kill you. Why did you tell the preacher about me? And he took out his. I said, I'll also kill you. You told him about mine too. So we faced each other with our knives, but that finger of the evangelist made me restless. So the next thing I thought, I was more clever than the preacher. This time he would do like this, and I would duck down behind someone's back. And when the finger comes, I would duck down. So I was going up and down, up and down. And that day I was a good Muslim, I think. But oh man, it was just that finger that brought conviction in my heart. And I started crying at the back. I was dirty, I was stinking, I was filthy and full of lies. And as I stood up from the back, as I was walking, everyone on the bench just had to hold their nose because of the smell of my body. And you know, months in the bush, you never had a bath. And so that night, as I came forward, knelt down before that preacher, I remember when he led me to Jesus, he had to take his handkerchief on his nose because I was real smelling. And after accepting Jesus that night, I felt that there was a big transformation. The greatest miracle that happened that night is, for the first time, the desire to kill just vanished. The desire for drugs just vanished. For cigarette, anything, hatred against the white man just finally vanished. And, you know, I felt that peace, no language under the sun can ever speak about that peace. It was so glorious. Congratulations, my sister. 2 years ago. Three and a half. Oh, man, what a wonderful. I mean, when you experience that, you feel like you want to fly. Amen. Each one of us, when we came to Jesus, you feel like you want to fly. Amen. Some, they were, you know, they repented like donkeys. Eh? You know, donkeys are always serious. No, we don't need to have a donkey face. When you come to Christ, there's joy inside. Amen. There's that joy, excitement. And for the first time, I just wanted to greet everyone in the streets. I was like a mad person. And even going to church for weeks, I had to be told to put my hand on my mouth, because Easter in the Presbyterian, you don't say amen. You don't say hallelujah. We are the chosen frozen ones, you know. So you couldn't say amen and hallelujah. So you have to hold your mouth. So each time I said amen, the deacon said, shh. And I said hallelujah, I said, shh. So later they excommunicated me from the church, that we don't like you for saying amen and hallelujah. But I didn't quit the church. I attended service by the window outside for 3 years. 3 years. If it were you, say, all right, I'm going to another church. It doesn't help to move to another church. No. If you go to another church, you are going to spoil it yourself. Because there's no best church in the world. So I stayed there. And I started preaching in the buses, in the trains, in the marketplaces. Man, thousands of people coming to Christ. I brought them to church. That church, which was just few people, God jam-packed the church because of one young sinner saved by the grace of God. But now I'm saved. I'm excited. The police has forgiven me, and the Lord is on fire in my life. Now I had one problem. 2 years later, I'm adopted by a white missionary. Hey, man, this white missionary, man, hey. He was teaching me so many things, and then every night he slept, we went to sleep. I would get a knife to kill him. Every night. I wanted to just put a knife on his chest. But I would hear the voice of God, Stephen, and I would turn around. I wouldn't see anybody. If there was a person who heard the voice of God, that was me. Many times. And one time I would take a 6-inch nail to nail it through his ears just to kill him. I was born again. Don't make a mistake about that. I was truly, truly born again. Jesus was in my life. But when it came into the evening, that past, the spirit of my past, was haunting me. And wanted to still kill a white man. I said, God, during the day I went with the white man to the marketplaces, preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus together. But in the evening I want to kill him. 5 years I struggled with that spirit. And later on I said, God, I can't handle it. I can't handle it any longer. It's too much. So the Lord, I said, God, I'm quitting preaching. I'm quitting everything about you because you haven't finished your work in my life. Why is it that some of my past things are haunting me? Yes, anyone can be born again, but sometimes you have these little, angers that erupts like anything. Those are your past. And you need to deal with them. If you can't deal with those, rages of tempers, it will kill you inside. Are we together? Hey, man, you are saying you're not amen. Hey, man. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you need to get rid of that. There's some of the things you inherited from your forefathers, and they haunt you even today. And you don't realize it. But so God had to use the word of God into my life. And so I wanted to quit. So I went to Victoria Falls. In Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, I said, God, I've come to quit. I'm no longer going to preach. I'm no longer going to follow you if you don't deal with me in this area. So I took my Bible in the bush. And Victoria Falls area, dangerous thing. We've got lions, all that. And I actually wanted to die. I said, God, I would rather die than remain with this hatred for the white man. Why should I still holding this of my past? Then I took my Bible. I said, God, I'm giving you 7 days. And I'm quitting. And so at the bush there, first day I was fasting and pray. Third day I'm becoming weaker and weaker. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. I said, God, now you have got only 1 day to have me. And on the seventh day, I said, God, now by 4 o'clock, I'm done with you. And about 3 o'clock, a still small voice speaks to me. It says, read Genesis 41. So let's go to Genesis 42. Are we together now? I know you thought I was a sinner who doesn't read the Bible. Yeah, I just want to share. This is a part of my testimony. Amen. And bless you, my sister, for getting saved, man. Woo! God snatched you from hell. Wow! Praise God. I didn't know that white people go to hell as well. Praise God. Genesis 41. Are we together? And the Lord says, read Genesis 41. And I went through the whole chapter, reading verse by verse slowly, because also I'd learned how to read, because I didn't go to school. I was never educated. So the first book I read was the Bible. So God opened my eyes to read the Bible. And so as I was reading in Genesis 41, let's read, I love this verse very much, that let's read verse 37 and verse 38. Are we together? Are we together? Good. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials, after he interpreted the dream. Eh? And so Pharaoh, that's a heathen king. Pharaoh, a heathen king, Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Can you imagine a heathen king recognizing Joseph in the midst of that heathen country where they worshipped idols, but one man, a sinner, recognized Joseph? Can we find someone in whom the Spirit of God is? Wow. I mean, just imagine you are walking in the streets of Durban and someone says, I can see you are a Christian. And you say, oh. You know, because the second question, how did you notice that? But the person has seen it. That you have something which I don't have. I've been in many airports around the world. I sit there. Sometimes I'm praying or I'm reading my Bible. People, you know, stop in to talk to me. I didn't invite them. But the airports, they come to me. Hey, you are a preacher. I said, yes, I am. How did you know that? I don't know, but I saw you shining. I said, me? Black? You see, God can make your life be noticed. Amen. So here they notice the Joseph. But now that's not the scriptures. The scriptures that came to me as I was reading, they were like extracted from the Bible. These verses stood right in front of me after reading the same chapter the seventh time. Each time I'm telling God, I don't understand this. Until God has said, no, let me do something to this guy. So he brings these scriptures so clear to me, and that's from verse 51. Let's begin 50 to 52. They just came out, and then it says, before the years of famine came Two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh. Manasseh, let's say Manasseh. Manasseh. Now he gave birth to Manasseh, firstborn. And when he was so happy, he would call Manasseh. Now, names are very, very important. Because if you give your child a name, I've never heard a name like Judas Iscariot. Or Adolf Hitler. I've never heard such kind of, because names can tell you a story behind that name. Are we together? So it's very important. I like Zulu names. Zulu names, they have a meaning, what they are saying. Nomuhle, Uthando, all those names. They are saying something. And when I was a young boy, I used to think about it. This is just a joke. I used to think, oh, Chinese, when they want to name their children, they throw a plate. When it say ting tong, they say, ah, ting tong. And when a plate sounds wah wah, they say wah wah. That's what I used to think. So don't play, throw a plate, please. No, ting tong. Yeah, but names, you know, they have a story. One time at the funeral, I preached on the only names of the Bible up to Methuselah. From Cain all to Methuselah, I preached on names and their meanings. Because Methuselah, that when the flood shall come, when the judgment shall come. So I was preaching on those names. Man, there it was like a revival, that funeral, with almost like 1,000 people coming forward to accept Jesus before we bury the person. Man, for us, a funeral, we call them POs, preaching opportunity. Yeah, a wedding is also a preaching opportunity. If I'm asked to preach at the wedding, I don't just preach, I make an appeal for people to come to Christ. Amen. Use every opportunity. You don't zip your mouth because I don't have a foot and mouth disease. You preach the gospel. So Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh, and this is the meaning. This is the meaning right there. It is because God has made me forget all my troubles and my father's household. Hallelujah. The first word, he says, God has made me what? Forget. Number two, trouble. And what? Father's household. So that's what was happening to me. I was having the past with me all the time. I remembered I was only about 4 years old. My father had put me on a bicycle on the back and tied my little legs so that my legs wouldn't go in the, what, these spokes, yeah. And then then the hospital was the other side of the town. From 6 o'clock, no black man was allowed to pass through the city. It was a curfew for blacks. And so my father, because if he took the normal road, it would take 2 hours. And I was at the point of death. At the point of death, almost dying. So my father said, how do I save my child? And he goes through the outskirts of the white suburbs. But somewhere he's met by police. I've never seen a man beaten like that. He was in the pool of blood. And he let go of the bicycle, and I went down in that state and fell down. And comes this white police officer, and he beats me with his boot on my back, and I was unconscious. It always reminded me that. You hear what I'm saying? It always reminded me. So I was struggling with that to forgive. I was struggling. I was truly born again. But this thing troubled me for me. There are many Christians even here in South Africa. Black people who have never forgiven because of the things they experience. But we still sometimes I cry when I look at my black people when there's, you know, when they fight other nationalities of other countries. I said, are black South Africans clever here? Sometimes you say, they are fighting black against what? Black. They will not go to the white man. They will not go to the Chinese. They will not go to the Indians. But black against black. And it is the very people, the black people, who harbored many South Africans in Zambia, Malawi, who helped in the freedom struggle. And I fought also helping South Africa in the freedom struggle, up to Messina. But I'm unwanted. So because of that past, it can eat you up here. Are we together? Are we together? I'm not becoming a politician now. I'm becoming a Christian politician. I don't know whether there's such a thing. Yeah, but what I'm talking is the story of my life. Amen? Yeah, so in Malawi, we didn't like people who came from Tanzania. And there are black people from Tanzania. Malawians didn't like the people from Tanzania, didn't like people from Zambia. And you find you go to Nigeria, the same thing. You go to Ghana, the same thing. And you ask a question, what is wrong with Africa? What is wrong with Africa? And so there's something where God needs to deal with us inside us. Amen. But also there's still that old apartheid system where someone will say, a white man will come and hug you. But no, it's not genuine. Hello, Brother Stevie. Are we together? You can feel it. You can feel it. There's some, I'm missing something here. I know you will not invite me, but that's not a problem. Now, he says, it is because God has made me forget. And you know, forgetting sometimes is the biggest problem among Christians. Said, yes, I forgive you, but I will not what? Forget. That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. If God did that, no one would enter heaven. Nobody will enter heaven. Yes, I forgive you, but I'll never forget. Because God, when he takes my sins, all Stephen's sins, he throws them at his back. Now, his back, how far is it? Because he fills the heavens and the earth. How far is it? That means eternity. They've been forgotten. When he throws them at his back, they are going for eternity away. So I've been forgiven. So you can't say I forgive, but I will not forget. You haven't forgiven. You know, even in family situations, husband and wife, I forgive you, my husband, but... You know, I forgive you, but you haven't forgiven. Because forgiveness doesn't have a but. Are we together? Some have got family banks. You know, a family bank is something happens, you put it in the bank. Something happens, you deposit it. By the time you withdraw, whoo, there's fireworks. Yeah, last week you did this, and that week you did this. One by one is being counted. That's a family bank. Why talk about the things you forgave each other? Why? Why do you remind your partner things you said it's forgiven, but you remind, yeah, you remember last month, you did exactly the same thing. Ah, even if he has done it 20 times, Today is new. It is today. Amen. 70 times 7, Jesus said, per day, not per month. Per day. Hallelujah. Are we together? Today you are going to kiss each other properly after forgiving her properly. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble. What were Joseph's trouble? Joseph's trouble was that his father favored him more because he was born at his old age. At his old age, he gave birth to Joseph, and he was a beloved boy. But he made also a coat of different colors. Oh, man, that boy, when he walked, he was shining. But now that brings trouble from his brothers. They started hating him. But the father does also one mistake. He put him in charge over his elder brothers. Oh, more trouble. How do you put the youngest to be the supervisor of the older brothers? You are seeking for trouble. And also the boy, when he would go to the field and to do inspection, he would bring bad report. There was no good bad report. And so some people you find even in the offices, they like to go to the CEO with a bad report so that he or she is loved more than the rest in the company. So that person becomes a specialist of gossip. Are we together? So Joseph was in big trouble. And then, worse still, he's not done yet. He comes in the morning. Hey, guys, I had a dream. Huh? What dream? He tells the dream. And when he tells the dream, my brothers and sisters, I want people of this church, Shofar Church, people who dream great things for this church. I want you to dream great things for this church. How do we grow it? How do we expand? How do we increase? How do we increase our borders like the prayer of Jabez? Increase our borders. How do we increase our borders? Isaiah 54, enlarge your tents. How do you enlarge your tents? People who dream great things for God, for Shofar Church. Not people who just know professionally. No, no, no. We want people who dream. Amen. Dream great things. Martin Luther said, I have a dream. 40 years later, Obama becomes the first president. But on the 40th year where Martin Luther had said those days, I was invited to the States to go and speak to 50,000 black Americans on that word, I have a dream. And I preached on that day, man, to thousands of African Americans. Now, when you have a dream, people don't like you. When you dream great things for this church, people will not like you. Just dream. Do the business of dreaming. Don't interpret the dream. Let the church interpret it. That's what Joseph did. He said, I've got a dream. Huh? Tell us. Now, the brothers interpret the dream. He said, are you saying that you'll be boss over us? I just dreamt. Hallelujah. I was asleep. I just dreamt. So they were interpreting the dream. Amen. He dreams second time. It is now this time his brothers and his father. Now the father rebukes Joseph. I don't know whether he spoke in Afrikaans, eh? Forsake man, eh? No, it was the father, the family interpreting the dream. So he said, no, I just dreamt. When you dream, share it, let the church interpret, just keep quiet. and be a spectator of what God has shown you. Amen? Just be expect. Just fold your hands and say, now I'm waiting to see that dream. And when you wait, as it unfolds, you say, wow. You will be one of those people say, wow. Because what God does, it's a wow business. If you don't say wow, something is wrong. Because what God does in your life, you say, wow. Amen. It's a wow business. I've never seen people saying amazement with a mouth closed. No, it's wow. Hallelujah. That's what God is doing in your life. Amen. Now, Israel sends Joseph to his brothers to inspect again. And they see him. Oh, there comes who? The dreamer. You know, when you do things for God, that what you do has to give you a nickname. It has to give you a nickname. There comes who? A dreamer. There comes a musician. Thank you, God, that you guys, you sing well. Hey, what beautiful voices. There comes the dreamer. What must, you know, remember the story? They killed the animal, put him in the dungeon, and in the dungeon there, oh, Joseph said, my life is ended. But God will use one person to save your life. Among your brothers, said, no, we mustn't shed the blood. Now, the same brothers who threw him down, listen, this is what happened. They pulled him up. By pulling him up, they were promoting him. You know, the same people who press you down, but as they pull you up, they're actually lifting you up to another level. Amen. They will lift you up to another. So when they lifted me up, they said, oh, now, what do we do? Let's send him to sell him to Egypt. They sold him to Egypt. Oh, what they were doing was fulfilling the dream. Amen. But among people said, oh, the boy is suffering, boy is suffering, boy is suffering. But no, they were fulfilling the dream. He gets to Egypt. He goes in Potiphar's house. He's working there. I think he was working hard, you know, singing chorus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Singing a chorus. But meanwhile, Potiphar's wife, you know, she twists herself, thinking that, you know, the boy will see. Women, once they want to propose a woman, they do funny things, you know. Sometimes they cough where there's no cough. But there's no cough. And these days now you see all in the office there are, what they call them, what? Cleavages. Ah, man, I don't know where they came from. Hey, woo, these cleavages. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Women are not even ashamed. Wah. The only part they hide is just the nipple. Man, what a terrible thing. And you find even among Christians, in churches also you find it. What a shame. In one church, big church in Ohio in America, the front row were all these beautiful ladies, but they had all short dresses. So I said, before I preach, ladies stand up, they stood up. I said, men, come and sit in front. I put the ladies at the back. Because there was one lady not sitting proper. So I was preaching, looking one side. I said, oh, God, man, this woman is... So my neck was, you know, one side. You know? So I took all the men to sit in front. So I was... Even some chairs, they would take even a cloth to cover. That tells you that dress is short. Are we together? So... Joseph, the woman grabs his jacket, and Joseph ran for his life. That's the only sin of sex, you don't pray. Never pray. Don't pray, but run. Run. Because when you said, I will pray, and the woman is holding, Lord Jesus, Okay, Lord, you go, but run. Amen? Run. Are we together? Run. That's the only sin you run. I had to run many times, many times. Many people think as a preacher you are not tempted. Many times. In New York, a young girl bangs my door midnight. And I opened the door. I thought someone was chasing her with a knife. And she zooms under my arms in my bedroom. And I looked in the corridors. Who's chasing her? I looked this way. There was nobody. But when I turned back, she was completely naked on my bed. Away from my wife. And I took the cover bed of this bed and walked backwards. The first look is not a sin. The second look is a sin. Are we together? The first look is not what? A sin. But the second, we say, oh, let me look again. That becomes a sin. So I took the cover bed, went backwards and covered her and wrapped her and pushed her at the door. She put her leg there and hit that leg and, you know, threw her out. And if there were some young men from Durban said, Amadloza, kitangboni, hey. No, you have to run. Amen. So Joseph ran. But by his running, always the world will hear the testimony of the woman. And they put him in prison. Now, verse 52, let's close now. Are we together? Are we still together? Verse 52. The second son, he named him Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful, not trouble. Fruitful in the land of my suffering. Trouble and suffering, there are two different words. Amen. That's English. Professor Stephen Lung now is teaching English. Trouble is that what he went through with his brothers. But now suffering was being thrown in prison for no apparent sin. Right in prison, he was suffering. Now, that's where I said, all right, Ephraim, meaning fruitful in the land of your suffering. In suffering, that's why you need to produce fruit of the Spirit of God. Joy, peace, love, long-suffering. All these fruits must come through your suffering. Many people complain and kicked out as if the devil has come into their life. No, God sometimes uses suffering to purify you. Amen. To purify you, to bring about a character that will give God all the glory. Sometimes we have got characters that want to be proud, want to show off. Oh, I'm pretty, I'm handsome, and what? No, sometimes God uses this suffering to purify you. Amen. That's why I hate when people, you know, is trying to elevate me. You know, you go to some churches, from there where I was sitting, they want to carry your Bible to the pulpit. I said, hey, what's that for? What's that for? We are carrying your Bible. I said, no, I've got my hands. Eh? They want to elevate you. Pastors have fallen into sin because of the sin of pride. They want to be given a carpet. They want to be respected. One pastor in Malawi, when he's preaching, someone, women come to wipe his sweat. I said, man, rubbish. So I stood up in the church. I said, why are you doing that? And the whole church was surprised because I'm aggressive. When I love the Lord, I speak out. I speak out. And the church was quiet. I said, lady, is that your husband? She said, no. I said, that's someone's husband. Sit down. And the church was quiet. After the service, I went to the pastor himself. I said, brother, where did you take this pride? Pride is that what, you know, made, you know, Gabriel or whatever, the angel, thrown out of heaven. But you are so proud. Even for us pastors, sometimes we are destroyed by church members where there's too much of the, brother, it was a good message. Oh, brother, that was fantastic. They are not praising God. I said, hey, man, I'm just a plate that has brought food. You don't go after eating, you go to the plate. Plate, thank you very much, plate. Do you do that? Do you go to a knife and a fork and say, thank you so much for putting food in my mouth? No, you forget about the fork. You forget about the knife, the plate. You appreciate the giver, the host. Amen. So our host is the one in glory. Are we together? If I were to write a book about myself, man, I would write books. You know, Harvard University wanted to give me a PhD degree and honor. I said, no, I don't want it. Johannesburg University wanted to give me an honor. I refused it. Kenya University wanted to give me an honor. I refused it. I said, no, I just want to remain Stephen Lungu. Because when you get these degrees now, you puffed up. Even when the way I greet my brother, I don't greet him properly. No, I will hold his fingers, you know. How are you, brother? May God bless you. And I start speaking even American language, you see, because I've got a degree. And they also accumulate bodyguards. I said, now, God has failed to keep you. Now you want human bodyguards. You know, preachers like this young Bushiri has got many bodyguards. So my brothers and sisters, God wants us to bring the fruit of the Spirit, which is also humility. Amen. Which is also humility, where we are humble before the Lord. And now that afternoon, I said, Lord, I don't understand these scriptures. And the Lord says, go to chapter 48. Then let's close with this one. Are you tired? Oh, okay. You can say shut up or shut up. Chapter 48. Well, the one who has been forgiven much loves much. That's why I can't stop talking about Jesus. I've been forgiven much. Yeah. Chapter 48, are you there? Verse 8. Israel comes to Egypt, and then Joseph takes his two sons to his father, and he says, Dad, these are my children. Now, listen at the question, verse 48, verse 8. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, who are these? Who are these? I know my brother who was playing, I want two young men to come here, please. Two young men, yeah. Please come, my brother, yeah. I want you to say then as I close. Because we learn by seeing, isn't it? Yeah, come here. Oh, thank you. You are Ephraim. And you are Manasseh. Manasseh, hands in the pocket. Good. Yeah. You are Manasseh. You are what? Manasseh. You are Ephraim. So, Joseph does one thing. He says, now he takes the two sons to his father. Amen? Israel. My brother, come, please. As a belief. Yeah, just sit here. Yeah. Now, he takes his sons. You know, look, this was what happening. He takes his two sons to Israel. He wants them to be blessed. Now, God has never blessed you with the left hand. No. He blesses with the right. He delivers with the right hand. Israel was delivered by the right hand from Egypt. He gave them manna with the right hand. He blesses with the right hand. He gives you the womb with the right hand. That's what God does. So he says, now Joseph says, I want my sons to be blessed by my father. So he takes Manasseh on his left so as to get to the right of Israel. So he must put Manasseh on his left and Ephraim on his right so as to get to the left because he's the young brother. So he takes, who are these? And he says, these are the children God has given me in this land. In other words, you are saying, these are the children God has made me understand my identity. These kids have made me understand my identity. So he takes them to Israel to be blessed now. Manasseh on his left to go to the right. So he stands up to bless them. So when he goes there for blessing, what Israel does, he takes the right to the... You understand? That's what happened. He takes the right to Ephraim, the left to Manasseh. Now while he was doing that, Joseph comes to his father. No, dad, no, dad. He takes his hands to put them there. Father says, no, my son. I know what I'm doing. God uses the cross in your life. And the cross is painful to deal with your past. Sometimes you say, no, God, please, no, God. God says, no, I know what I'm doing in your life. Amen. So he blessed them that day. Verse 20. Let's read that verse. Thank you very much. Ah, no, no, Manasseh, Ephraim, don't go. We're finishing. So he blessed them that day. What is the last verse? Listen to the last verse. The last verse, verse 20. Verse 20. Listen to the blessing. This is how the blessing was. Verse 20. You found it? Yeah? He blessed them that day. He blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. Up to now, you go to Israel, they pronounce this same blessing. In your name they will pronounce this blessing. May God make you like who? Hey, like who? He's not like Manasseh. No, he says, may God make you like who? Ephraim. And then what? Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. So this is what he did. Every day as I was walking, I was putting Manasseh. Oh, God, I want to forget. I want to forget. I want to forget. God said, no. Put Ephraim ahead of you. Manasseh behind. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful in my spirit. Be fruitful in the spirit. As I became swimming in the spirit of God, in the anointing of the spirit of God, I forgot Manasseh. I forgot my past. And from there, I went to the white man I wanted to kill. That, forgive me. I've been wanting to kill you for 5 years. But God has given me Ephraim. And I said to this white man, I love you. And this love now was from inside. Deep inside. That's why when I say I love a white man, I have no pretense. Not one bit. And God says, all right, Stephen, I'll bless you. Thank you, Ephraim and Manasseh. I'll bless you. Then one day I hear a call from London, our fourth born son. Dad, I found a girlfriend. I said, praise God. Bless you, my son. I hope she's born again. He said, yes, of course, Dad, you know, she's born again. Then my son says, but. I said, uh-oh. Now, I hope he's not a man. He says, no, Dad, he's not a man. He's a woman. But I said, you said but. I said, but what? She's white. I said, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, you have a white girlfriend. Yes. So when I went to England, I went to meet this young white girl, and I said to her, you are not going to be my daughter-in-law, but you will be my daughter. This in-law is scraped off. And she wept and wept and wept. And she says, no one has ever told me this. You are the first one to adopt me as your father. Because she too, when she was born, her father left. She has never seen her father. And my son hunted for his father in Australia, brought him for the wedding. And the wife, his girlfriend, didn't know. On the day of the wedding, she sits in the limousine and she asked the man to go and sit next to her with a letter envelope. Said, give it to her. So when this man comes in, he says, who are you? You know, someone is taking me. He said, no, just read the letter. And my son wrote, this is your father, biological father. I couldn't give you any gift on this wedding except for you to meet your father. And they were reconciled. So God puts Ephraim to be fruitful. Maybe you are here. You've been struggling in your life. God, help me. Help me. But just change the order of God. You've been leading Manasseh for too long. But now it says, put Ephraim ahead of you. Swim in the fruits of the Spirit. When you swim in the fruits of the Spirit, the past will be gone. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, that you helped me to forgive my fellow white men. And thank you, Lord God, that you helped me to forgive my father who abandoned me, to forgive my mother who abandoned me, to forgive the people who said negative things about me, that I was good for nothing. I was a bastard child. And yet, Lord God, you forgave me, and you gave me the Spirit to forgive them and bear the fruits of the Spirit in my family. And thank you that all members of my family accepted you because of the life they saw in me. So, Father, I pray that maybe there's someone struggling here, never had a good relationship with a stepfather or a stepmother or brother or somewhere at work, or God, struggling up to now. Oh, God, I pray that you bring that spirit of forgiveness and that you will be on another level with our Lord Jesus. Amen.